good evening. Good evening, church. It is again, we have assembled ourselves in the presence of God once again. And let us remember that God is in our presence. Amen. So let us be on our best behavior. Amen. Praise God. It's good to see all of you again tonight. I pray and trust God that today was good for you. I know some football fans lost and some won. I hope you're amongst the winning teams tonight. Amen. So that way your mind can be fresh and open for the word of God tonight. It's good to see Brother John Leggett, as always. Amen. We miss you this morning, brother. And so tonight, we want to focus in on the book of Joshua real quick, the third chapter. And we want to look at, I told you this morning, I would come back and give you six principles. I'm going to call them six marching orders. Amen. For 2012. I want you to march into 2012, and I want you to march with these orders. Amen. Amen. Now, y'all stay with me. And number one is the first, number one is, take immediate action. Amen? That's the first thing you want to do in the year 2012. Mm-hmm. We're going to put 2012 right there. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yeah. And now that's number one. And we'll go on down. Number one is in Joshua 3, the Bible tells, Joshua 3 tells us that Joshua, along with the nation of Israel, crossed the flood-swollen Jordan River. These people had one major goal in their mind. Amen? And that was to capture the city of Jericho. Jericho was a militarily important strategic place. And they only thing on their mind when they were sitting there at the brink of the Jordan was to capture Jericho. To capture Jericho was to prepare the way to conquer the promised land. Jericho stood between Israel and Canaan. So to conquer Jericho was what was on their mind. There was a challenge, however. The current of the Jordan is very, very swift at Jericho. Besides, it was the harvest season. And the melting of the snow coming down from the Lebanon mountains caused the river to swell, really swell. And the river was overflowing. Just like Joshua and the Israelites, I am sure, every one of us sitting in this room tonight have new goals that we have set for 2012. Some is personal, some is professional, some is educational, and some is ministerial. But there's goals that we have set for 2012. Just like them, the Israelites, we will face unimaginable challenges while we run towards our goals. That's right. Satan is as a roaring lion. Mm-hmm. Satan goes about seeking whom he may devour. Yeah. In 2011, many of us was bitten by Satan. We wasn't devoured. In other words, we wasn't gulped down. We wasn't swallowed up. But Satan bit many of us. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And we became infected. Because a lion's bite, if it's not attended to, it will cause a great infection. So as we journey into 2012, let us be mindful that Satan is busy. So as we face these unimaginable challenges, and as we put last year in its perspective place, remember there have been setbacks, heartaches, disappointments, but we must march on. We must, church, march on, because we must march on to victory. That's why John could say, greater is he that is in you, that is he that is in the world. Amen. We must, church, march on. Canaan is on the other side of Jericho. And that stands between us and what God has promised us. We have a Jericho in between us and heaven. Church, are you with me tonight? So tonight is all about how to overcome these challenges. These challenges must be met if we are going to cross over. We can no longer camp, church. We can no longer camp on this side of despair. We can no longer camp on this side of mediocrity. Church, we must march on. Church, we must march on. Because Canaan is on the other side. We must march on to victory tonight. Church, I stopped by to tell you we cannot give in. We can't camp over here on this side of feeling bad or sad for yourself. We can't camp on this side no longer, church, of mediocrity and despair and failure. We must march on, church. Let me tell you, we must march on. Amen. Number one is, to march on, we must take immediate action. We can no longer procrastinate. We can no longer delay. We must get up early in the morning. We must get up early in the morning. We can't lay in the bed to 12, 1 o'clock. We got to get up. We got to get up early in the morning. Joshua's task, it wasn't easy, church. The flood-swollen river was over 1 mile wide. Joshua was responsible for nearly 2 million people. He could have waited. Instead, Joshua got up and took immediate action. Most people, when confronted with difficulty and risky tasks, they put them off as long as possible. Often, it only makes matters worse. Church, we can no longer procrastinate. We need to take immediate action. Procrastination is the silent killer in the church. That's the silent killer in the church. In other words, deferring action. You know, in the church, we got a real good way of saying, I'll do it tomorrow. Amen. We put off tomorrow what needs to be done today. We need to take immediate action. If the church is going to move forward, it means that we got to take action. And we have to do it right now. If you are to move forward in your life, you got to take action. And you got to take it right now. You can't be waiting. What are you waiting for? Tomorrow is not promised. Take it right now. Amen, church. And we must march on. Procrastination is the silent killer. It's deferring action. It's delaying action. How many more times will I put off? How many more times would I put off what I can do today until tomorrow? How many times in 2012 will I put it off? How many of us, and please don't raise your hand, but how many of us can think about this here? Honestly, sit down and think about it for a moment. How many things we procrastinated on last year? I'll get it later. I'll get it tomorrow. And here we are in 2012, and still ain't got it done. So, church, we got, and see, what the best way to deal with procrastination, if you are a master procrastinator, we got some master procrastinators in the church. Amen. And so if you are a master procrastinator, this is what you do. Take immediate action. Don't think about it. It needs to be done. Do it. Do it. God is going to take care as long as you write. Now, I didn't say, now, don't be going out there stealing immediately. Amen. But when you write, do it right now. You know what is the will of God. See, you know the will of God by studying God's word. So you already know. And see, and that's why, don't worry, is it all right with God? No, you should know if it's all right with God or not. Before it even come up, you ought to know if it's all right with God or not. So to avoid procrastinating, just take action. Immediate action. Joshua got up and took immediate action. Amen. We need to trust in God's strength and trust in God's wisdom. And when you do that, you'll get up early in the morning and go and do it. At the end of the day, when you get up and you take immediate action, at the end of the day, watch this here, you always feel good. You ever notice that? You ever notice that? Man, when you just go and you just do it. You don't want to do it, you do it. And you just do it. And at the end of the day, you'll be walking around, your little chest poked all out. Amen. So in 2012, number one is take immediate action. Stop procrastinating. Because procrastination is the silent killer. Trust God. Trust in God's strength. Trust in God's wisdom. Amen. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we know the text. Trust in the Lord with all of thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him and he shall do what? Direct. Trust him. Take action. Just trust God. Amen. Don't be trying to figure God out. Why do we try and figure God out? Our thoughts is as far away from God's as east to the west. We don't think like God. Amen. And so don't try and figure God out. Just trust God. Trust God. Trust God and let God direct my path. Boy, but I'd rather for God to direct my path than anybody I know. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And number two is follow. Now, this is a good one for y'all. This is a good one. Right. Follow the counsel of your spiritual leader. Amen. Amen. Let me tell y'all something. If you are going to succeed in 2012, you're going to have to take immediate action. Number two is you're going to have to follow the counsel of your spiritual leaders. And this is very personal and dear to me because I can see why the church has literally collapsed. Lord, amen. 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 Now watch this. Now watch this here. In Joshua 3, 2 and 3, look what the book says. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priests carrying their Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out, amen, from your positions and follow them. Are y'all with me? Now, number two is follow the counsel of your spiritual leaders. Amen. Spiritual leaders, watch this now. Spiritual leaders are divine, are divinely appointed tour guides of our Christian walk. Let me say that again. Spiritual leaders are divinely appointed tour guides of our Christian walk. Amen. And let me tell you something. There's too much fussing, cussing, fighting, hurting, kicking, and everything else against spiritual leaders. We treat the preachers, the elders, and the deacons like dogs. Why do brothers buckle against everything? Spiritual leaders are divinely appointed. Amen. Tour guides of your Christian walk. Amen. It's time now that the churches of Christ stop fighting against the leaders. That's why the church is in the condition that it's in now. The leaders are appointed by God. The leaders in the church are a gift from God to you. Amen. Well, Brother Prewitt, you're doing a lot of talking. Give me some Bible. Amen. I will in a minute. But I'm going to talk first. Amen. Let me tell you something. We are a gift to you. Amen. Now look what the book says. Go to Ephesians 4, verse number 11. Amen. Now watch this from the New Living Translation. It says, now these are the gifts God gave to the church. He gave apostles. He gave prophets. He gave the evangelists. He gave the pastors. And he gave the teachers. Amen. And he says their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Don't you know that the preacher, the elders, they are the pastors, the teachers, they are gifts from God. Amen. And let me tell you something. You don't want to mess with a gift from God. Because the preacher, the elders, the deacons, they are appointed by God. The teachers, the pastors, amen, they are appointed by God. They are a gift from God. Amen. And watch this here now. Their job is to equip the saints. But if you are beating up the preacher, how's he going to equip you? His job is spent fighting. Fighting for his life. Amen. Why, when you hurt the preacher, what can the preacher do for you? In matter of fact, when the preacher got to work all the time, what can the preacher do? How can he equip the church? I don't know where we come up with this mess where we don't supposed to take care of the preacher. That's the problem. We don't have no respect for preachers. You ever notice denominational folk? Amen. They take care of their pastor, don't they? They take care of Reb, don't they? And y'all mad at the denominational folk. I ain't mad at them. Amen. Only thing, just beat us up. Amen. So if you got to follow the counsel of your spiritual leaders. Amen. Amen. Watch this here. Hebrews 13 and verse number 17. The Bible says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. That's in the book. That's in the book. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. It's quiet up in here, ain't it? You know why it's quiet? Because we realize, and we're looking at it tonight, and we see. You know what we see? Is that we're not doing this. I've never in my life been beat up so bad till I became a preacher. I don't know why they beat me up. I ain't done nothing. They don't pay me nothing. Why are you fighting with me? Fighting against everything. Amen. And honestly, I wouldn't say anything to nobody in the church that don't come from the Word of God. I don't have no motive but to make heaven my home. But I can't keep on taking this beat neither. You know, you can only kick a dog so many times. That dog gonna mess around and bite you back. And that's by way I'm at. I've been kicked one time too many. And I'm pretty sure a lot, and that's the problem in the church, a lot of our brothers have been just abused. We need to, in 2012 church, we as collectively as a church need to follow the counsel of our spiritual leaders. Amen. Hebrews 13 and 17, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls. Right. That's their work. That's their work. Is to watch over your soul. That's my job. I must answer to God for that. When you at home sleep, I'm up in the middle of the night trying to figure out why. What can I do? That's our job. And the Bible says that we, look, and we don't, see, and I fault the preachers too. We don't talk a lot about this anymore. And let the church just now, the church, and listen, this is a reciprocal type thing here. It's for you and it's for me. I'm telling you this because I want you to succeed in 2012. You cannot dishonor the man of God. Why? Because he is divinely, he is a divine appointed tour guide for your Christian walk. Right. And they are, and watch this here. They are to watch over your souls and they are accountable to God. Give. Now watch this here. Give them reason to do their job with joy and not with sorrow. That's y'all guys' responsibility. Now, preachers, I'm trying to help y'all out. Elders, I'm trying to help you out tonight. Amen. Because I had already told the congregation up there where I'm at, y'all can't do this to me no more. You cannot treat me like this no more. I'm done. You done had too many years treating me like this. And you can't treat me like this no more. Because I don't want to see you go to hell and I ain't going down there with you. Because you keep on, you have me fighting, you have me angry, have me mad. And then you wonder why preachers lashing out. Amen. Why? Because you guys' responsibility is to make the preacher's job a joy and not sorrow. That's your job. And God is going to hold you accountable. If you don't like the preacher, if you can't get along with the preacher, then you and the preacher need to talk about it. If y'all can't straighten it out, you need to move on. You don't need to kill the man off and kill yourself off. Are y'all with me? I'm trying to help you out. That's all I'm doing. I'm trying to help you out. I ain't fussing. Just trying to help you out. Because Church of Christ, we have lost respect for the man of God. We don't respect you. We don't respect elders. And they are, and the Bible clearly says in Acts 20 and 28, they are appointed. They are ordained by the Holy Spirit. And we don't respect them. We don't respect these brothers. Don't respect the elders. You know the preacher ain't got a chance. Preacher get beat up. I mean, I ain't never fought so much in my life. Amen. And watch this here. And it says, look, give them reason to do their job or this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Paul says, look, it won't be to your benefit to make their job hard. It will not be to your benefit. Are y'all with me? Amen. Take care of your spiritual leaders. In 2012, follow their counsel. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 12. Look what Paul tells this church. He said, dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. Honor them. Are y'all with me? He says, honor them. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Now, do you guys realize what I'm saying? Do you understand that God will reward those that diligently seek him? Amen. And that don't just mean coming to worship service. You have a great responsibility here. And that is, watch this here now. And watch this in verse number 13 of 1 Thessalonians 5. Show them great respect. That's in the book. Amen. Follow the counsel of your spiritual leaders. And look what it says. Show them great respect and wholehearted love. Now, be honest with yourself. Do we see that in the church? Do we see that in the church? I told you, it get quiet, Leggett. Don't it? It get quiet. But let me tell you something, Brother Leggett. This is between me and you. I'm standing up for mine this year. Brother, I'm standing up for mine this year. I ain't taking this whooping no more. I've been whooped. I've been beat down, kicked, stomped. No more. Because you know what? My job is way too hard. I work 15, 16 hours a day. I drive 300-400 miles a day sometimes. And then I'm going to come to the church house and get beat up. I ain't taking no more. Amen. fighting against everything that I put out. I sit up 4 and 5 nights in a row to just to put out a program, and then everybody fight against it. They're not fighting against me. They're fighting against God. Amen. Amen. And then it says, watch this, show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work and live peacefully with each other. The previous generation, y'all know, died in the desert because they despised Moses' instructions. That's why they died in the desert, because they despised Moses' instructions. You go over there in Numbers 14, when Joshua and Caleb, they ripped their clothes off when they came back with that false report. And the rest of them, they had already, over there in Numbers 14, they had already got another leader. They had lost their mind. And God says, you know what? Because of that, you know why? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have you to march around this wilderness, and every one of you going to die off, and your carcasses is going to be left. Don't it feel like we're marching around a mountain? Just keep going around the same mountain, and we're seeing the same things and the same stuff. Ain't nothing changing. It's the same thing. You know why I can say that? Because it's everywhere in the churches of Christ. Just marching around a mountain. And you know what? Sadly, I believe, and it's just me, I believe that most of us are going to have to just die off. Just die. In the wilderness. That's why I work so hard with the young people. I go into the young people home and teach them. I'm every night in their homes. I got youth classes in the house, because I know it's going to take the next generation to march on, to march to victory. And I teach them to respect the leaders. Because that's why Israel didn't make it in. That's why everything over 20 had to die. Because they disrespected their leaders. They despised Moses' instructions. That's why. And that's why we are, that's why you see the church. Yeah, that's why you see the church just falling apart. Why? Because they don't follow the counsel of the leaders. That's why. Most of us miss God's blessings because we ignore the counsel of our spiritual leaders. Disobeying our spiritual leaders' authority is a direct rebellion against God. Rising up against the man of God. Why I'm spending so much time on this? Because it's one of the biggest problems in the church. Let me show you something here. And just let me show you something, how sad it is. And maybe if you can understand it like I can understand it, then maybe, you know, when you see people rising up against the leaders, you'll step up and say something and let them know it's not right. But you think about this here. A man dedicates his life. He gives his whole life. I'm going to show you two scenarios here. I was reading an article in the paper here recently, the Presbyterians, and they were saying that their budget this year is only going to be for the Presbyterian, for that thing. It's only for the, for that denomination. It's only going to be, they're going to be $9 million this year because, you know, they had to cut back, you know, $1 million. So it's going to be $9 million. And that $9 million is to take care of the preachers that's preaching now. They call them, pastors and stuff like this here. You know, we totally disagree with the doctrine. I do, you know. Let me be very clear. But I want to show you something here. And so that $9 million is to take care of their preachers and you know, and all of their expenses and stuff. And they and the widows. Amen. And the retired pastors. A brother in the Church of Christ give 40, 50 years. And the best he can get is generally nothing. Why? See, because we done lost respect for the man. We done lost respect for his position. We don't understand that he's a divine appointment of God. We don't believe that he's watching out for our souls. We got this my, me attitude. Amen. I take care of my own self. No, it don't work like that. And so you see, so that you look at that scenario. You know? And I'm trying to get us to see, because we miss our blessings simply because we don't know. That's why we miss our blessings. Amen. Amen, church. And then number three is wait. I told you up here to take action. And number three is wait in God's presence.
All right.
Amen. Now watch this. Let's look at the text. Watch this here. In Joshua 3 and verse number 4. Look at this. Joshua 3 and verse number 4. And it says right here, the Bible says, since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. The Israelites didn't know where to go because they had never passed that way before. Likewise, church, as we venture into 2012, we don't know what this year has for us, for we have never been here before. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was a symbol of God's present power and guidance. It was Israel's most sacred treasure. It's important, church, that God's children spend time in his presence for guidance. Spend time in his presence for guidance. Stay in his presence. Stay in his presence. I want to show you something here. I want to show you something. I want to show you a question, and I want to show you an answer. In the 15th chapter, in Psalms 15, turn your Bible there real quick. In Psalms 15, 1 through 4. Look what the psalmist says. The psalmist asks a rhetorical question here. He says, who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter in your presence on your holy hill? He says, who may worship in your sanctuary? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? And then look at the answer, he says. Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right. If you want to be in the presence of God, you got to live a blameless life, and you got to do what is right. You got to do what is right. Amen. Now, this is in your Bible. He says, those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from a sincere heart. Yeah. That's who God, that's who can be in the presence of God. All right. That's who can wait in the presence of God for God's divine guidance. Mm-hmm. It's those that speak the truth from a sincere heart. Yeah. Those that live a blameless life. Those that are right, do what is right. Amen. Now watch this here in verse number 3. Who can be in the presence of God? Those who refuse to gossip. Refuse to gossip. Hey, amen. That's in the book. Do y'all see what I'm saying? You see where I'm trying to go? So we got to wait in the presence of God. Now, when you're waiting in the presence of God, guess what? In order to be in his presence, I just want to put one thing up here. Stop gossiping. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Because when you gossip, the way that we be going on all this old gossiping, we take ourselves out of the presence of God. And look what the psalmist says. He says, those that refuse to gossip. In other words, folk going to come to you, Brother Foster. They're going to come to you. And they're going to, you pick up the phone, man, you call to pray.
Yeah.
You call looking for a prayer. And you pick up the phone, and they get to talking about everybody and everybody else. But you have to refuse to bite into that stuff.
Amen.
Because that stuff takes you out of the presence of God.
Amen.
It don't do me any good to come in the sanctuary of God up in here lifting up holy hands and just a shouting and going on. That does me no good if when I walk out the door I'm gossiping. And if I'm sitting up in the sanctuary, my mind is on gossip. We got to stop it. Because it takes you out of the presence of God.
Amen.
And when you're out of the presence of God, he can't direct your path. When you're out of the presence of God, he cannot guide you. And if he ain't guiding you, I wonder who's guiding you. And I wonder who's, and I wonder if he ain't guiding you, who's guiding you, and where he's guiding, who guiding you to? Are y'all with me? I'm not fussing. Sister Brooke, I am not fussing. I know I just look like I'm fussing. But I ain't fussing. But I'm trying to help us out.
All
right. Amen. Amen. I preached the same sermon to my congregation up there. Same thing. And I'm telling them, look, you know, you want to be in the presence of God because we need his divine guidance. Amen. Amen. Now watch this here. And those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. That's who can be in the presence of God. That's who can wait in God's presence. Now watch what the psalmist said. Those who despise flagrant sinners. See, you got to have it. It has to be in your heart. That folk that just flagrant sinners. You know, y'all know. I guarantee, brother, talk to me. We know some flagrant sinners, don't we? Folk that just refuse to do right. Hey, man. Amen. Just refuse to do right. Amen. We have to despise them. We have to separate ourselves from them. Amen. We can't be fellowshipping with them. We can't be keeping company with them. Amen. We have to. Why? Because they take us out of the presence of God. Amen. How in the world can you say you're in the presence of God and you sitting up there entertaining these thugs? They lying, backbiting, cheating, gossiping on everybody. And you sitting up there with your ears wide open. We can no longer do it. Amen. If we are to march to victory, church, these are marching orders. I'm serious. Marching orders. You know, they're so simple, but yet, they seem so hard for us to do. Amen. And then, church, watch what he says. You know, we have to despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of God. Mm-hmm. We have to honor those that are faithful followers of God.
Yes.
When the last time you pat somebody on the back that you know for a fact is doing a good job, that you know for a fact is a good Christian, that you know for a fact is in the presence of God? I'm serious. Mm-hmm. I'm serious.
Yes.
This is what pleases God. And it says, honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. And keep their promises even when it hurts. You know what? If you promise somebody something, no matter why you feel about it, no matter what, you keep it. Let us in 2012, if we promise somebody we're going to do something, do it. Let us do it. Anybody in here guilty of that? I am. Promise stuff and don't follow through with it. And then number four, sanctification. Mm-hmm. Sanctify. I'm gonna put sanctify. Y'all gotta get sanctified. We got to get sanctified. Amen. Let's say purify. Now watch this here. Look at the text. Watch this here. Then Joshua told the people, and this is in verse number 5. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. The people were ordered to put away anything and everything that is displeasing to God. Put away any and everything that is displeasing to God. Can I get sanctified tonight? I ain't talking about skipping and round and jumping and dancing. I'm going to do that. You know sinners do that. You get full of that gin, you'll sure enough do some jumping. But can I get sanctified? Can I put away anything and everything that displeases God, that hurts God, that grieves the Spirit of God? Can I get that stuff out of my life in 2012? Can I get that stuff out of my life? Because if I don't get it out of my life, I won't be able to cross over to Jordan. I won't be able to take over Jericho. I won't be able to take the Jerichos out of my life. Are y'all with me tonight? I got to cleanse myself. Amen. I can't call on a righteous and holy God if I'm all jacked up. Amen. Sin prevents us from becoming victorious Christians. God will not hear sinners. God will not hear sinners. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. The Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is his ear too deaf to hear your call. It's your sins that have separated you or cut you off from God. We got to purify ourselves in order for us to cross over. Boy, if we're going to be victorious in 2012, we got to get rid of this stuff. Whatever it is, I don't know your sin, but I guarantee you, it's stuff that just weighs us down. Amen. stuff that displeases God. And we know what it is. We know what it is. And we keep doing it. And let me go back up. I want to say something else. I want to say something about, and going back up, about despising flagrant sinners. We got to stop that. Brothers, we got to stop just fellowshipping with these flagrant sinners. Because you know why? You know what happening is? They causing us to miss our blessings. They causing us to be victorious. They causing us to be profitable to the church. They causing us to make a difference in the church. Because when we fellowship these guys, these guys are weighing us down. We are missing our blessings. And when you miss your blessings, you know what happens? You just get tired. You just get wore out. Everybody need a blessing. And we need a blessing every day. But when you're never getting blessings and you don't see, look around us. We don't see anything changing. What happens? We began to become disgusted. Discouraged, depressed. Amen. Why the numbers is down? Why the money down? Why ain't nobody getting it? Why this? Why? But you know the problem is we are fellowshipping these hardcore flagrant sinners. Boy, some brothers and sisters, you are not even touched. They need to be marked. And they keep tearing the church up. But whose fault is it? It's our fault. It ain't their fault. They sinners.
You're right about that.
They crazy. They outside of the ark of God. And I call myself inside. And I'm letting them weigh me down.
Well, amen.
Amen. That's the problem. We need to despise these flagrant sinners. All these old hoochie-coochies and coochie-hoochies and all this stuff. We need to despise this stuff. Get rid of this mess. Just walking around acting crazy. And we just steady going on like everything. What's up, bro? How you doing, bro, man? What's up? God bless you. Blah, blah, blah. We need to mark them. We need to mark them. Just tearing down the church. All that weight on us. And we walking around like this. Lord, I so need a blessing. Well, we missing our blessing. We missing our blessings. And so in 2012, these marching orders, we got to get sanctified. We got to get purified. Amen. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. You know what? It's that simple. Confess it. Give it to God. Repent. Turn away from it. You might have been doing it so long. Yeah, it can be a struggle. But you know what? If you go to God every day, just go to God and say, God, just remove this from me. And God, and if it's cigarettes, don't go in the store and buy the cigarettes. Just don't go in there and buy. If it's women, just don't go to the club. Stay out the club. Wherever you pick them up at. If you're dealing with internet porn, that's probably the biggest thing out there now. Stay off the internet. Throw your computer away. Whatever you got to do, get out of it. If you need to use the computer, go to the library. Amen. I'm telling you, there's some bad stuff going on out there. There's some stuff going on. And we need to understand, we need to confess it to Christ, because Christ is just and faithful to forgive us. But it don't do any good to report it to him if we're not willing to change. Amen. And so we got to sanctify ourselves this year, church. And we sanctify and purify ourselves. I know that stuff ain't going on down here. But up there where I'm at, out there with them cowboys, it's rough. We got a whole lot of stuff going on out there. I'm dealing with some heavyweight stuff. Boy, they coming all out the bushes. See, they've been out there and they've been free for so long. Ain't no polices or nothing been out there. These folks doing all kinds of stuff. Child molesters and crack addicts and all of this stuff, and they just walking freely. Did you know out there where I'm at in Mead Valley, that little area, that's the meth capital of the United States of America? They just make this stuff. Everybody walking around tweaking, all their teeth done fell out and everything. They're crazy. Amen. And we got to deal with this stuff, I'm telling you. And then guess where they come? Up in the church. Amen. Ask for God's grace so that you will not repeat the same mistakes you made last year. Ask God. Ask for God's grace. And number five is trust God for his word. Trust God. Are y'all with me? Trust God. Just trust God for his word. Amen. And church, let me tell you something. Just trust God. Trust God. God promised that they will overcome the nations that occupied the land he promised them. Look at Joshua 3 and 9. Look at Joshua 3 and verse number 9. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites ahead of you. He says, look, don't worry about it. And then he goes on to tell them, look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Church, let me tell you something. The presence of God, Jesus Christ, the person of the Holy Spirit, will lead you across. It will get you across. It will take you over. It will remove any and all stumbling blocks if you trust in God. Trust God. The priest will carry the one from each tribe. The priest will carry the ark of the Lord and the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of the water will be cut off. Trust God. Let me tell you something. As soon as these priests step in the water, upstream, stop. Don't you know, let me tell you something, the stuff that we got in our lives, don't you know we can stop it by trusting in God? Amen. In Mark 11:24, you know what Jesus says? He says, whatsoever you pray, he says, believe it. And then God says, receive it. That's faith. That's trusting God. Jesus says, you know, if you got faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. That's trusting God. Why is these little bitty molehills stopping me from doing what I need to do for the Lord? Why am I missing my blessings? Because I'm not trusting God. Because I haven't sanctified myself. And you know why we don't trust God? You know why? You know why we don't trust, a lot of people don't trust God? Is because they haven't sanctified themselves. They can never trust God. Israel could never trust God. That's why Joshua told them, say, look, today you must sanctify yourself. Because it's going to take trust. It's going to take faith to step out on that water. It's going to take faith. And it's going to take faith for you to march in 2012. A lack of faith. A lack of faith as the 10 spies came back and gave that false report. You know what it was? It was a lack of faith. It was fear. And that's what have crippled the church for so long. Fear. Fear, church. Fear. Not trusting God. Amen. Not trusting God. Fear. Watch this here. Fear is just simply false evidence. Hey, man, y'all watch this here. Appearing. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Real.
Oh, yeah.
Them spies went out and they seen them big old giants over there, and them giants was real.
Yeah.
But God had already told them, you go over and possess the land. I've given you the land. False evidence. Yeah. Or you can even go even better and say false education. You know, you got some folk that just scared. They read the Bible. But they don't understand the Bible.
Oh, is that right?
The Bible says God didn't give us the spirit of fear.
Right.
Or of timidity.
Right.
Why we got so many scared folk in the church?
Amen.
Why we got so many scared folk in the church? They haven't been sanctified.
Right.
You'll never trust God as long as you're caught up in your sin. That's why you ever notice brothers get up and pray. Now, and I know you brothers down here don't do this. But you ever notice brothers get up and pray and they be saying, Lord, if it's your will, Lord, if it's your will, Lord, give me something to eat tomorrow, Lord. If it's your will, help the sick. Well, we know it's God's will. They scared. They scared to go to Christ boldly. You remember when Jesus got out the boat, they brought that paraplegic and set the paraplegic in front of him, and they told Jesus, they called Jesus on his stuff. They said, Jesus, fix this man. And you know what Jesus says? Jesus says, man, I am impressed. I'm impressed by your faith. Amen. They was impressed. You know why they was impressed? Because they was bold. You got to be bold to go to God. God don't want no wimps. You ever notice? God don't want no jelly back men. God don't want no weak kneed men. If you think I'm lying, you look in the book. You look in the book. When Jesus came and he chose the 12, he chose 12 thugs. Thugs. Amen. It takes a thug to, you know, sometimes you might have to have a little thug in you to carry this thing here. Amen. I'm trying to tell you something. Fear. Fear will cripple. Fear will cripple a man. It cripples you. Not only that, it demobilizes you. You can't do nothing when you're scared. You're scared when you don't trust God. When you don't trust God. Amen. Through risk comes change. And you know what? Let me tell you something. There is no risk if God is in the mix. There is no risk if God is in the mix. You know what it is? It's walking out. It's leaving out. It's, oh, Lord. It's stepping out on faith. Walk by faith. Not by sight. We're justified by faith. Faith is what pleases God. Faith gives us access to the grace of God. Oh, hallelujah. And when you got access to the grace of God, you got access to the mercy of God. Everybody need a little. Y'all need some mercy, don't you? Amen. But it takes faith to access that, Romans 5. It takes faith to access that. Ephesians 2 and verse number 8. It takes faith, man. And faith is the opposite of fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. Man, when you got faith, you ain't scared. Why? Because you trust God. You trust God for what God says. God promised that they will overcome the nation. They occupied the land that he promised them. God said it. In Numbers 14 and verse number 9, look what God had told Israel. Watch this now. In 14 and 9, Numbers 14 and 9, he says, do not rebel against the Lord and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. God says, listen, don't be afraid of them big Amalekites and them big old giants over there. And there were some big boys. Yeah. You know, here recently they found them skeletons over there. Boy, them boys had heads that big. They were standing 9, 10, 11, 12 feet tall. But look what God says. Now, you know, and think about this here. And look at all of these giants that we face. Right. The Rock, that's a giant. Yeah. Are y'all with me tonight? Yeah. Yeah. That's a giant. You know that Rock Church out there in Point Loma? That's a giant. And they are taking our people. Y'all ain't with me tonight. Maybe I need to go over to the Baptist Church and preach this one here, boy, because y'all ain't with me tonight. Hey, man, I'm trying to tell you something. That's a giant. The Rock Church and Mount Hope and all of these other big churches, all these 3 and 4,000, 20,000, them is giants. How in the world can we overcome them giants? How can we defeat them giants? We have to trust God. Amen. Trust God. When God told him to go, he told Israel, go into the land. They are only helpless prey to us. In other words, they are helpless prey. Let's go in and just, they there for the taking. Go get them. And that's the same thing God had given us. He's commanded us to go into the world and to make and to make disciples of all nations. That's our charge. But in order to fulfill that great commission, church, guess what? We have to trust God. Number one is we got to take immediate action in 2012, and we got to follow the counsel of our spiritual leaders, and we got to wait in God's presence, stop all of this gossiping and so forth. I want you to read Psalms 15, 1 through 4. Y'all write that down. I want you to read that. Everybody need to internalize that. Amen. And then number four is sanctify yourself this year. Make a decision tonight. I am going to sanctify myself. I'm going to cleanse myself, purify myself from all of this foolishness. And number five is I am going to trust God. All right. Amen. I am going to trust God. Amen. In Joshua 1 and 5, look what God had told Joshua. He says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Think of some of the promises you received from God in the last year. Think about what God did for you last year. Magnify that this year. This year, remind and claim them when you face flood swollen rivers of life. Sometimes when things are going so bad and like I was telling you this morning, sometimes when the storms is in your life, look back. Look back over last year and look at how God delivered you last year. When you don't feel like it sometimes, look back when you was hurting last year and how God brought you through it. When you ain't got no money, look back. When your spirit is, when you feel like you're bankrupt in your spirit, look back over last year and remember what God did for you. And if you can't, if last year wasn't too good, go back to 2010. Go back and just remember what God did for you. Remember what he did for you. And that will give you trust in God. And number six, and we're going to close. I told you I'm going to let you out of here early tonight. We must have, and this is going to sum up everything right here. And number six is, we must have faith. Watch this now. In action. Bam! Faith in action. Our faith must prompt us to move.
Amen. That's right.
If you say tonight you believe, let me see. God want to see it, because didn't James say in James 2:17, I think it is, faith without what? Works is a what? Is dead. Y'all know the scripture. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened me, right? Based on what? Faith. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened me. Based on faith. Are y'all with me tonight? So in 2012, we must have faith in action. Faith without action is dead. The river parted only after the priest waded in the water. You're wading in the water. Amen. The only way they was going to cross was that the priest had to step out on faith and believe that that river was going to dry up. You got to step out on faith this year and believe that God will deliver what God said he would deliver for you. You might have many things that you want this year in 2012. Believe it. That's why Jesus says, look, whatsoever you pray in faith. Believe it. And then Jesus didn't stop there. He says, receive it. That's my greatest scripture. That's my script. That's my claim to fame. That's Mark 11:24. That's my claim to fame. Because God tells me, look, whatever I pray for, if I believe it, I can receive it.
All
right. You hear them denominational folks are talking about name it and claim it. That's in the book. Name it and claim it. It's yours to have. But see, we don't teach like that. We fight about that. But the truth of the matter is, we are the Christians. We are the Christians. Those are our promises. They just reading them. They belong to us. They belong to us. They belong to us. Whatsoever. Did not the Bible say, whatsoever you ask in faith, receive it. Believe it. So we got to, our faith must be in action. And you know what? If we believe, let's take action on it. Take action on it. Practical faith. Now watch this here. Practical faith involves a risk. We dislike taking risks. We want the way open before we move out for God. You know this. Now, these brothers truly understand what I'm saying. You go into one of these business meetings.
Well,
I just can't see it.
Lord.
Well, where your faith? I can't see it, man. I just can't see it. See, we want the door open, and then we'll believe. But faith don't work like that. Faith don't work like that. Amen. So this year, we got to have faith in action. Amen. We got to step out and trust God to confirm your faith at the appropriate time. Through risk comes change. The opposite of risk is fear. One important thing we must do to remain strong in the faith is to remember what the Lord has done last year.
All right.
He dried up the Red Sea. The River of Jordan is nothing for him. He dried it up. Be willing to get your feet wet. And then wait for God to respond.
Amen.
And that's just the bottom line. That's your marching orders. That's your marching orders. I believe if you follow these orders in this year, I believe that all of our lives will change.
Amen.
I know tonight many of you are facing troubled waters tonight. It could be at home. It could be at school. It could be at work, at the place, or at the church. The good news is this. You will cross the rivers of Jordan and meet your goals for this year in 2012. Follow the marching orders. If you follow these six marching principles, don't fight them. Follow them. Embrace them. Don't fight them. Ephesians 6 and verse number 12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. I want to leave you with one thing from that text. Our fight should never be against one another. Never. Our fight is about powers. It's about powers in unseen worlds. We don't see these powers, but we show see the effects of these powers. And that's what has happened in the church. That's what has happened. We don't see them. And every time you look around, you got change agents in the church. And the next thing you know, you don't know where they come from. You don't know how they got it. You don't know how they infiltrated the church, but they always pop up. That's them powers. And so we should never fight against each other. Never. 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 Under no circumstances. And when we do that, watch God bless us. Watch God bless us. So, I leave you with this. Take immediate action. Follow the counsel of your spiritual leaders. Follow the brothers. Wait in God's presence. Stop all of that gossiping and stuff. Sanctify yourself this year. Trust God for his word. Faith in action. If your faith don't move you, it's not faith at all. Your faith moves people. If you're here tonight, you're straight from the family of God, you can come back by repenting of your sins. And let the church go to our Heavenly Father on your behalf. If you're here and you're not a child of God, I encourage you to become a child of God. To come in and allow God to fight these battles for you. Allow God to strengthen you, to give you the strength that surpasses even your own understanding. Those of us that's been in the church for a long time, that's in the presence of God, can tell you. And we can tell you with a resounding shout of joy that God will fight your battles. Weeping may endure for a night, but we know that joy is going to come in the morning. So church, please, if you're not a child of God, become a child of God by hearing, believing, repent, confessing, and being baptized. Confessing what? Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. We'll baptize you in water tonight, and that water will sanctify you. It will purify you. It will cleanse you. And not only will it cleanse you, but it will give you God's Spirit. And God's Spirit will empower you to do things greater than your understanding could ever, ever had imagined. Amen. So if you're here tonight, you're subject to the call of the gospel. Let us be standing.